Hey, WFO Universe, want something for free? Send a self-addressed stamped envelope with plenty of postage, and we'll load it up with free WFO stickers. That's right, I said free. Send your envelope, care of Castello Media, /WFO stickers to P.O. Box 848-353, Pembroke Pines, Florida, 33084. Do it now.
Okay, we're going to start our post-race press conference here in Zoom Room 2 with Eric Almirola. Eric, thank you for joining us. I know it's not the circumstances you had hoped for. Maybe talk about that race and your round of 12. Actually, it looks like you're on mute there, Eric. I'm sorry. Can you unmute there, computer?
How about that?
There you go. All right, my man.
Yeah, we struggled today. Not the day we were hoping for sure. I struggle at this racetrack in particular anyway. This is not one of my best racetracks. So I knew it was going to be a challenge. It certainly wasn't of effort. I put a tremendous amount of effort in through, watching film and studying data and going to the simulator and all of the things. But I still can't put all the pieces of the puzzle together when it comes to making speed here at the Roval. So frustrating, really bad for my team. We've got a great team and we've had a great season or a good season. We needed a great run today and a win really. And unfortunately we weren't able to do that today. I just didn't do a good job.
Thank you, Eric. If you have a question for Eric, please raise your hand. You can also text me any questions. We'll give it a little bit to assemble a queue. We'll start off with Bob Pockers. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Eric, so what do you look for the last 4 weeks, and like, how do you evaluate this season? Because I mean, you've been fairly high up in the points all year.
Yeah, we have. We've been in the top 8 or 9 in points, and I think at one time we were 6th or 7th in points. So, we've got a few races left, and I think our goal should be to go and try and win. I think that's the one positive, is that even though we're eliminated out of the playoffs, we still get to race. We don't go home and watch on TV. We still get to race and participate. So now we just got to go make the most of these last 4 races. And we've actually got really good tracks coming up for us. I was so hopeful to get through this round of 12. I felt like Talladega was going to be our best chance and had a good run going there, and an unfortunate end to that. But, coming to the Roval, I knew it was going to be a challenge, but I was really looking forward to this next round. Kansas, Texas, and even Martinsville have been really good racetracks for us. So I'm disappointed to not be in the playoffs still, but there's still good racetracks for us, and we can go.
Any other questions for Eric? All right, Eric, thank you so much for your time. Good luck at Kansas. Have a great week. Okay, we will also, in this room, we will also be joined by Kyle Busch and Austin Dillon. Clint Bowyer had to go to the infield care center to get checked out. We're unlikely to get Clint. Clint will be doing a media availability on Tuesday. So if you need Clint, would highly recommend joining that. If you need that call-in info, please shoot me a note, mford@nascar.com, and I can forward you that along. But we will get Kyle Busch and Austin Dillon in this room momentarily. All right, we're joined by Kyle Busch. If you have a question for Kyle, please raise your hand in the queue. We'll go right to questions for Kyle. Thank you again for your time, Kyle. Apologies, this is not under the circumstances you would have liked, but appreciate the time here. And we'll go straight to questions with Jordan Bianchi. Go ahead, Jordan.
Kyle, you took the lead with 21 laps to go on a pit strategy call. At that point, did you think you had a good enough car to win the race? And what was your mindset at that point?
No, I did not. I just knew that we were trying something, anything. And, some of the other guys that stayed out behind me, there was only 4 or 5 of them. I thought maybe if there was 10 or 12 of them, we might have a better shot at having an opportunity to stay enough out front. But Even on the restart, even on the fire off, trying to get everything warmed up, ready to go. I didn't have anything to be able to drive away, and I even had my teammate, the 20 car, pass me. So, obviously I didn't have anything for nobody, today.
After a season like this, and you do some evaluation, is there something that needs to change with the 18 team that you guys aren't doing or need to do better?
All those things have certainly been discussed, and I'm sure we'll keep discussing.
Thank you.
Next up, we'll go to Bob Hawkers. Get Bob.
Yeah, Kyle, do you know what happened to the tire beyond getting flat? Do you have any idea? Because it didn't, unless you did break something as well, and we just didn't notice.
You talking about the left front flat?
Yep.
I assume it was just the tailpipes from the 14 car coming blasting on by and not leaving any room for three wide. So just ripped the tire, I'm sure.
And obviously, you know, you want to win a race between now and the end of the year, but would you be willing to like try certain things, like really go outside the box to work on things for next year and, you know, maybe give up a chance for a win over the next 4 weeks?
Too soon to talk.
Thank you.
Next we'll go to Jeff Gluck. Go ahead, Jeff.
I mean, I know that this year has just been awful for you by your standards. So, I mean, at this point, do you feel like you have hope of winning one of these final four races to keep your streak alive? And how important is that to you at this point?
I mean, it's very important. And, you know, you go out there and try each and every week. And, yeah, there's certainly been times this year where I've thought, man, there's something wrong with me. I'm not doing it right. I don't know what I'm doing. Or the car's not quite right, or I'm not trusting what the car's really doing and telling me, so I should just drive it harder, and then I'm crashed. So I don't know what to think, but certainly it would be nice to score a win and to have a win for this year. That would be the only consolation prize for the way this year's gone. But to answer your other question about how we've been running, do we even have a shot to win? I don't think we even have a shot.
Thank you.
Jordan, do you have another question?
I did. Looking for next year, is it going to continue to be Adam Stevens?
Why be stupid and ask me a question like that right now?
Yeah.
And we'll take one final question, and that'll be Ashley McCubbin. Go ahead, Ashley.
Hindsight 2020, let's say you guys stay decide to come down pit road instead of staying out. Do you guys think you had possibly something there to contend for the win and get that win to advance to the next round?
I don't believe so. I think the 9 car was just too strong today. He was really, really good. That car on road courses is just really fast. He's doing a really good job with it as well, too. It definitely has a different platform than our cars do or what I'm feeling. So there's some things there that we need to figure out. It's been long enough now that we haven't figured it out. So, you know, it'd be nice to be a little bit faster here at these places, but best we were going to run was probably third or fourth, maybe if I got lucky, maybe second, but that's about it.
Thank you. And best of luck the rest of the season.
All right. That's all the questions we have. Thank you very much, Kyle.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Looks like we've been joined by Austin Dillon. It's logged on here. Start right up. There he is, buckled up. All right. Okay. Austin, let me just get you spotlighted here. Okay. All right. We are now joined by Austin Dillon. Austin, thanks for taking the time. I know it's not under the best of circumstances or the circumstances you wanted, but outstanding playoffs up to this point. Can you talk about today's race and the round of 12, please?
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, the second round didn't go as well as the first round. We really had momentum coming into this round, and it kind of started with Vegas with the failure we had there in the belts, and then we were able to fight hard at Talladega to put ourselves in a little better position coming in the Roval, and I actually felt like we fought pretty hard today, but unfortunately, that first caution fell at the wrong time. We're fifth in the stage. Kind of going to ride it out with the wet tires. That caution fell and we were the last group to put on dry. So had to start from the back, worked our way about up to 12th again. And some of the guys around us pitted. We were kind of running it longer to kind of see what happened. And we kind of got in the same situation that we were in the first stage, where the caution fell and we had to come down pit road and just not enough time to get back up there for stage points. Then we got spun. That was kind of a product of a little bit of damage that I had gotten. And Kyle, he talked to me after the race and just said I'd slowed up too much. And I had. I mean, we had damage. I couldn't get through turn 3 and 4, so on the big track. But all in all, you know, I wish we could have done more and made it to this next round because I know the next three tracks are great for us. But we want to go try and win one of these next four races that we have. And I feel like we've got great shots the next couple weeks.
Oh, actually.
Okay, if you have a question for Austin, please raise your hand in the chat function or send me a chat in the chat function. And we'll start off with Dustin Albino. Go ahead, Dustin.
Yeah, Austin, between this round and the last round, what do you feel like the three team proved in the playoffs?
Well, you know, I think we're a legit competitor. I think it puts a lot of momentum going into next year. And I think the next three races are just as important for us to keep proving what we can do as a team. We've been solid all year, and that was the first road course I had run, and I was, you know, obviously road course racing, I don't have the best history with it, but today we were competitive and showed at times that we could compete, and it's got me more excited about road racing going into next year with the races that we have, and going to put more effort into it. And but as far as all the ovals, man, there's not one oval that we go to that I don't feel like we can't show up and win at. Want to make road courses feel more like that. Obviously Chase Elliott's done a good job and putting in the effort and the work to get where he as a road course racer is. So, but as far as the ovals, our three team, we feel every week that we can win.
Cool. Thanks, Austin.
Next up, we'll go to Bob Pockers. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Austin, do you consider making this round and the way you've been running a successful season, or are you going to need to finish somewhere in the points to feel good about it?
I definitely would like to finish strong in the points. You know, I think we can get all the way up to fifth if I'm not. Yeah, I think we get all the way up to fifth. I don't know what the point situation looks at right now, but I'll definitely look at it and want to keep ourselves inside the top 10 in points. I think that'd be really big for our organization and try to get as far as we can get. You know, I think that would be a successful season and get as many points as we can to the end of the year and treat every race like we have since the playoffs started.
Thank you.
Any final questions for Austin?
It's not like made up on Tuesday or anything, is it?
All right, it looks like that's it. Thank you, Austin. Appreciate the time and safe drive home.
Thank you.
All right, there we found him. We have Alex Bowman, driver of the number 88 Valvoline Chevrolet. Alex, why don't you just talk quickly about what it means to race your way into the round of eight there?
Yeah, it's it means a lot to me, but also to my race team. You know, these guys work really hard all year. And, you know, I feel like sometimes my team at least doesn't get the respect they deserve. So I feel like it's kind of like it validates all their hard work. And, you know, obviously we have a long way to go to try to make the round of four at Phoenix. But these guys work so hard and do such a good job and give me such great race cars. So I'm just really happy for them. And, you know, I wish I could have been a little better today. We struggled with our race car quite a bit, but still ended up with a solid top 10 and had what we needed there for points.
Awesome. We're going to go to questions for you now, Alex. We're going to start off with Jerry Jordan.
Hey, Alex, you called yourself anxious, Alex, or what? You're feeling sick in the car. Have you, has your lunch calmed down yet now that you made it to the next round?
Yeah, welcome to being me. That's just part of my life, I guess. So I don't know. I feel like there's plenty of people that can relate to that, and that's just something I go through. So didn't feel too well. My nerves got to me more than I would have liked. And, you know, I think it's one of those deals under green, you're fine. But when it's like caution after caution after caution, sitting there under caution just wasn't feeling so good. But I'm all good now, and definitely was nervous though.
Everything stayed down, right?
Yeah. I have this bright white fire suit. It's literally all white in a Valvoline logo. So you guys would be able to tell if it didn't.
Take care.
Next, we're going to go to Stephen Conley with PRN.
Alex, you, last time we were at Kansas, you came home eighth in that. You had the fifth at the last mile and a half. We were at Las Vegas. How do you feel the round of eight rolls out for you, and is Martinsville a concern?
Yeah, it is. You know, we've had some okay days at Martinsville. We have greatly improved our short track program this year. So, you know, we went to Richmond where we finished 26th that last year or something like that. And we finished top 10, ran top 10 all day. So definitely not as nervous about Martinsville as I would have been a couple years ago. But, yeah, I mean, I think that's probably our weakest racetrack that we go to. The mile and a half, you know, through the summer we really struggled. But the beginning of the year and lately we've been really strong at. So Kansas in particular, we've almost won there before. I feel like we can go be phenomenal there. Kansas and Texas are two opportunities for us to win. Every week going to the racetrack with Hendrick Motorsports is an opportunity to win, but Kansas and Texas are going to be our best shots at it for sure. And I mean, it's probably going to take a win to make the round of four. So just going to go all in and do everything we can to make that happen.
Appreciate it. Best of luck.
Yeah, thank you.
Next, we'll go to Jeff Gluck.
Why is Chase so good at road courses?
I can go faster than him in the simulator. Does that count? I don't know. If I knew, I would do it and be as good as him. You know, we obviously can see everything that team does. The four teams at Hendrick Motorsports are completely transparent and share all their info and work so well together. Chase is open book. I could ask him, but I don't know what he does so differently. You know, I spent a lot of time in the simulator this week running both setups and trying to understand the differences between what we've been really successful with here and what he's been so successful with here. And they drive completely different. Obviously, he's had a little better end result than we have, but we've still had good results with ours. So I don't know. We went more their direction today, and I probably struggled with the race car more than I ever have today. So I feel like you could plug me in the nine car and it wouldn't go as fast as Chase makes it. He's got it dialed in when it comes to the road courses right now.
Thank you.
Yeah, man.
Next we're going to go to Davey Siegel.
Hey, Alex. On a bit of a serious note, I don't know if I just don't listen to your radio closely enough each week, but is your anxiety something that actually happens to you during races in the race car weekly, or is it kind of a rare occurrence?
I feel like it's not super common in the race car, you know, before races and high pressure situations, you'll have that, I guess. And, I feel like I was just really stressed out. It means a lot to me to make the round of eight and was really something I felt like, with the point situation we were in, we had to do, with the race team that Mr. H has given me and put me with and all the resources we have, I feel like it was pretty necessary to make the round of eight. So, I don't know. It means a lot to me, and I put a lot of pressure on myself to make that happen.
Going off of that, did it make any difference having the 48 news out in the open this week, or did it not really matter?
To be honest with you, that probably helped distract me through the majority of the week, and just being able to talk about something else and not being so caught up in a point situation. It's just tough, man. Like, you come to the Roval, stressful. It's a cutoff week, it's stressful. And you're surrounded in points by champions of the sport, extra stressful. You're trying to beat Kyle Busch. And it's going to rain. It's like, how many stressful elements can you add to one thing? So being able to talk about something else was definitely helpful this week, I feel like.
Thanks, Alex. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Now we'll go to Rob Tjongson with NASCAR Pole Position.
Alex, first of all, congratulations on advancing to the round of eight. It seems like you and your team are starting to find the speed that's made you such a threat early on in the year. So my first question is, what's been some of the keys to the team's turnaround during the playoffs?
Yeah, I don't feel like we're back to where we were early in the year still. You know, we were dominating every week. It felt like we gave a lot of races away, but we led a ton of laps there from, I guess, Fontana all the way through like second Charlotte. You know, we were on it every single week, race car capable of winning every single week. And we're not all the way back there. We're definitely, we've made a ton of gains and we're close, but we're not all the way there. I think the biggest thing that has helped us get pointed back in the right direction after the rough summer is each and every individual on the 88 team and at Hendrick Motorsports, but specifically on the 88 team, just staying positive, working hard, and working well together. We've had some new faces on the team, and it's really easy to get along when things are going well, like they were in the beginning of the year. But when things start going wrong, like they did through the summer, it's so easy for a team to fall apart. And I never once saw, heard, had to deal with any team falling apart isms. So they just worked hard and stuck together and kept learning, kept improving, and it's got us back on track.
For sure. And my last question to you, kind of leading into that point, given the fact that you guys have been able to kind of reconcile some of those growing pains, if you will, heading into the penultimate playoff round, which tracks do you feel like is your best chance, given it's to show up in race weekend format lately?
Yeah, I think, you know, kind of like I said before, Kansas and Texas, I feel like our cars are really strong at Martinsville, but there's something as a race car driver that I am missing a little bit of. I feel like I've been able to gain on it, and we were better this time around. Came from a lot of studying and leaning on the guy that's sitting in the media center. It was about like trying to catch him on a road course, trying to catch him at Martinsville. But I feel like those first two are our best shots, and we're plenty capable of getting it done.
Thanks, Alex. Best of luck.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, Alex, thanks for joining us today, and good luck as the round of eight starts next week.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
All right, we're now joined by Eric Jones, who finished third in today's race in the number 20 Craftsman ACMN Toyota. We're going to go straight to questions for you, Eric. We're going to start with Mitchell Brewer from Popular Speed.
Eric, in the last couple of races, you guys have been on a run, not finishing any worse than eighth. How good does that feel with the season you've had?
That's nice. You know, I think we've had our share of ups and downs, and, you know, definitely more ups in the last month and a half than downs. So that's good. You know, we're doing what we're supposed to do, up and running in the top five each and every week. And, you know, I think Vegas, even we could have probably ran in the top five had things worked out a little bit differently at the end of the race. So we're right there. I mean, we want to win a race, you know, bad. We just haven't had quite enough speed at some of these places to really cap it off. And, you know, today we were, we got kind of lucky with a pit call there at the end and got some good track position with new tires. So, you know, overall though, it feels good. You know, I'm still hunting to finish up my plans for next year. So, you know, I think every good run, you know, doesn't hurt and, you know, can only make things a little easier.
Thank you.
Next we're going to go to Bob Hoppers.
Yeah. Eric, what do you attribute these better finishes to? I mean, do you feel like you're running any better, or do you just feel like things are falling your way?
I think things have just fallen our way. You know, our cars have been a little bit better, but it's nothing, you know, light years ahead of anything we've done all year, really. I just think that we had some crazy circumstances through the year. Some of it was our own doing. Some of it was just, you know, mistakes on pit road or mistakes on my part. And, you know, the last month has just been smooth. We haven't made any mistakes, really. I mean, we've had some things not go our way, but we've had some things that did and made up for mistakes or things that didn't go our way early in the race. So, you know, even today I look at it, the car didn't start before the race. We had to start dead last and drove up to the front and then got caught behind the two when he spun out and got stuck there and lost a ton of track position and then drove back up front again. So, you know, I don't know. I think there's definitely some better things that are falling for us, you know, whatever that may be, but I don't know that we're really doing anything a whole lot different than what we've done.
Thank you.
Next, we'll go to Davey Siegel.
Hey, Eric, you mentioned this recent string of finishes. Do you think that it's too late in the game for these finishes to mean anything for what you're going to be doing next season? Or do you think that it's never too late to try to get some better runs? And with the rides that are available that we know of, do you think that'll help you?
I don't think it's ever too late. I think anytime you can help your stock is good. And I mean, I've ran good on every style of track, Talladega and Bristol, you know, Las Vegas, the road course today. I mean, I don't know, you know, obviously I wish I would have won them all, but, you know, I don't know what more to do. Sometimes it's, you know, we run really strong and you know, I feel like, you know, I hope I get a good ride next year. We're still working hard at it and still trying to work things out, but, you know, we're heading in the right direction on a lot of things too. So I, it's frustrating sometimes when you think about it, you run up front and, you know, I know we haven't won a race this year, but, you know, it's tough sitting in the spot, being out of a ride and not having one set up so far.
Thank you.
And we're going to wrap up with Jerry Jordan.
Hey, Eric, you've been really good with us in the past about telling us when you could, how things were going to be. Do you have any type of estimate or timeline of when you'll be able to let us know what your plans are, where you'll be, where you'll land for 2021?
Yeah, I mean, to be, you know, completely as transparent as I can be, you know, I really think we'll have something done this week. Not saying that that means we're going to announce anything, but, you know, we're definitely really close, I think, of working something out, and hopefully we can get that done. And, you know, that'd be, I think that'd be good. So we're getting there for sure. You know, I obviously can't say everything. I wish I could be totally open, but there's some things you can't say. So we're getting close though. You know, I can tell you that.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, Eric, congratulations on the run today and good luck next week in Kansas. Thanks for joining us.
Yep. Thanks, guys.
All right. We have Joey back with us. We're joined by Joey Logano, driver of the number 22 Shell Pennzoil Auto Trader Ford, who finished second in today's race. We have some questions ready, so we're just going to go straight to them for you, Joey. We're going to start with Jason Brown from Spectrum Sports.
Thanks very much. Joey, obviously, you know, you came in here really not knowing what the track was going to be like because of the weather conditions. Is it sort of a sigh of relief now for you?
Yeah, it's a, I mean, I can't tell you. I mean, I typically don't get nervous before races, but this one had me pretty nervous because, you know, I said earlier before the race, I've never felt less prepared for the battle ahead. Typically a guy to over-prepares tries to, you know, make sure I see everything coming at me before it happens. But this one, I couldn't do it. I just didn't know what it was going to be. I asked as many questions to Austin Cindric and watched the Xfinity race yesterday from a suite. Did everything I felt like I can do, and I still didn't feel comfortable, especially being on that cut line of what was going to happen. So just a great day. Executed the race as good as we could, you know, with getting stage points and then a few good restarts, really good pit stops, kept us in the game and got us to second. So I hate to say we'll take second and be happy with second, but no one was going to beat that nine car today. I tell you that much. Jeez. He's smoking around here. Their road course stuff with Chase and Allen and those guys are light years ahead of us. Not even close. They're definitely booking. So we got to figure out what that is. Obviously, their teammates are probably wondering the same thing. So you know, we just got to keep our heads down, focused on ourselves, and keep making gains. We made some gains from Daytona, so we got to keep working at it. And it's hard to do without practice, but we're making progress.
Next, we're going to go to Ashley McCubbin from Popular Speed.
Looking at the next round of the playoffs, what do you feel, what track are you most confident in going to in advancing to the final four?
All of them. I feel great. Ready to go. This is exactly what I needed to get through here and get a little momentum built up. So feel good about all of them.
Thank you.
Next, we'll go to Casey Campbell.
Thanks, Steph. Hey, Joey, how are you?
I'm good. What's up?
Not much. So I just want to ask, do you think if we had practice and qualifying maybe in the rain or maybe it was a dry track, do you think that would have any effect on maybe being, you know, maybe a little more prepared or something?
Yeah, it would have helped for sure. The first – you know, a couple of laps we roll out there on those tires and the tracks, you know, was fairly wet. It wasn't soaked like it was yesterday for the Xfinity guys, but it was wet, and you know, we're all trying to figure out what that grip level is under caution, and then obviously as we get going. So anytime there's uncertainty like that, it presents an opportunity to pass a lot of cars, but it also presents an opportunity to wad it up early in the race, which is exactly the wrong thing to do. But I felt fairly comfortable about what I was able to do with those rain tires on, and then you know, the question was, oh, when do we put the dries on? And yeah, you didn't want to be too late to the game there, and how that works, especially, you know, for us, we didn't want to be super aggressive because, you know, we were racing for stage points and needed every point possible in case one of those cars below the cut line would win.
And overall, how do you think today went with all the circumstances? Overall, how do you think NASCAR did with racing in the rain and all the competitors?
Yeah, I thought it went way better than I thought it would. So, you know, I think, you know, yesterday for the Xfinity guys, that was an extreme case. That was probably too much rain. But today, the only negative I saw of anything today is that they got to fix the running water. It never stopped the running across the racetrack. So if they can figure out a way to drain that better through three and four and a little bit down the backstretch into the rear chicane, you can fix that, we're good. And I don't know how easy to fix it is. I don't know. I'm not a construction guy, but if they can fix that, I'm good to go.
All right. Thanks, Joey.
Thanks.
And next, we're going to go to Jerry Jordan.
Hey, Joey. You said you watched yesterday's race in a suite. After doing that and not having near as much rain today as we did yesterday, did you find yourself at any point, were you hoping we had a little more rain today to you know, shake things up a little bit?
Nope. No. Yeah, I felt like in the rain we were pretty good. We were able to pass a few cars, but I mean, everyone's just going to figure it out as we keep going. And in our position, you know, maybe if I had a 50-point cushion, I'd say, yeah, rain, it'd be a lot of fun. But coming in here only 21 points above the cut line in eighth place, I'll take whatever normal I can get and try to work with that.
Thank you, buddy.
Thanks.
Next, we'll go to Stephen Connolly with PRN.
Yeah, Joey, when you were out there trailing Kyle Busch when he was leading and you and Bowman were separated by 1 point, did you know about that? Did you know how close they were? And did you see your strategy having to change or your approach to the end of the race if that stayed that way?
Yeah, I mean, I was obviously a little concerned as the 18 was pretty quick. You know, but, you know, obviously they went for it with the strategy call of leaving the old tires on there. They had all their teammates do the same thing to try to build a cushion. Smart move. I mean, I can't blame them for that. You know, and then we were able to get by him and put a little bit more distance between us and the 88 and felt more comfortable, obviously. So, you know, the worst case scenario is the 18-1 and we'd be, you know, racing the 88. So it was kind of in that position for a minute and a little nerve wracking, but you know, cautions fell right and other things went the right way. And obviously a great strategy and great execution from Paul's side as well.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And we'll go to Rob Tiongson with NASCAR Pole Position.
Hey, Joey, congratulations on the podium finish. Seems like you and your team are starting to peak at the right time after somewhat of a slow start, not only in the playoffs, but in the middle part of the season. How critical has it been for you and Paul to start nailing these great finishes? And also, too, how do you feel about your chances in the round of eight, particularly as we head to tracks that you're pretty strong at?
Yeah, I feel great. You know, we've had good speed. I look at Vegas, if we didn't get the damage and, you know, get trapped down a lap there for a minute, we were really good there, capable of winning. You know, I look at Martinsville as one of our best races, and Texas wasn't bad for us either. So I feel great about where we're at. You know, I told my wife before we left, someone, I said, we just got to get through today. And I feel like we got a good shot at getting to the championship four. We just got to get through this one because this is such an unknown. This is what, you know, had my stomach in knots. So I'm like I said, I'm glad to get through it. And I feel really good about our chances.
My last question would be, do you feel like you're an underdog compared with the year kind of being the Harvick and Hamlin show? Or do you feel like we're saving our best stuff for the last part of the year?
I'm right where I want to be.
Nice. Thank you.
And we're going to take a final question from Bob Pockers.
Yeah, Joey, if I'm trying to evaluate who's going to be good in the next round, do I look back to Texas and Kansas from weeks ago, or do I look more to maybe Vegas the last mile and a half?
Both, maybe. You know, like I said, without practice, it's hard to improve a whole bunch on your car, but you have something to go back on from the last time we were at Kansas and Texas and Martinsville. So, you know, I kind of look at those and say, you know, we're going to tune from where we were. I thought Kansas, we were pretty good. We had a flat tire and ended up destroying our car there. So, but we were close. You know, so I feel pretty good about our 550 stuff now. If you asked me that, you know, 10 or 12 weeks ago, I'd say we're way off on 550s. Now I feel like we're in the ballpark and competitive. And it just took a little bit for Paul and I to understand what makes the car tick, right? What makes it tick with me? And like I said, without practice, that's really hard to do. So, you know, it's something I'm proud of coming here to the Roval for the first time together and having a solid run. I feel like every time we come back for the second time, we should get better, and we have been getting better. So that gives me confidence for this next few weeks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll wrap up quickly with Lee Spencer.
Sorry about that. I'm juggling two of the Zoom casts. Forgive me if this was already asked, but you made a mention about Kyle, about Chase Elliott, and just how freaking fast his car was from what you could see out of your windshield. Is there anything anybody can do to catch him with all the road courses that are going to show up on next year's schedule?
We better find a way, shouldn't we? Like I said, it's not even close. Whatever they're doing, you know, I got a good view of it for a while there behind him, and you know, some things I saw, but boy, oh boy, I saw other cars do the same thing and not go as fast. So he's just light years ahead of everyone, like I said. And, you know, like I said, his teammates aren't even close. So it's crazy to think about whatever it is. You know, it seems like long runs is definitely his strength. You know, but hey, we're going to have to, because plenty of road courses next year. So we're going to have to figure something out. Because right now, you know, he can kind of cruise around. He got out there and kind of managed his gap to me about 20 car lengths ahead of me. And I knew that. I knew that was happening. The harder I pushed, just he'd go a little bit faster. And then eventually it was really easy for him to pull away the last five laps. I don't think he was still trying. So that just goes to show how good they are right now. So I'm not trying to take anything away from them. You know, they deserve all the credit. They are the best at road course racing right now, no doubt, by a lot. So we got to work that out.
Appreciate your time. Good luck next week.
Thanks.
All right, Joey. Thanks for joining us. Good luck next week at Kansas.
Thanks, guys.
All right. We are now joined by Alan Gustafson, the crew chief of the number 9 Napa Auto Parts Chevrolet. To our media, if you have a question for Alan, please go to the participants tab and raise your hand. Alan, we're going to get started with questions. We're going to go straight to Bob Pockers.
Hey, Alan. Do you have something for road courses? I mean, is there something that you do that Chase takes advantage of that just isn't able to be replicated right now by anybody, including your teammates?
Yeah, I think it's him. I think we have Chase Elliott. That's the difference. So. He's really, really good. I don't know what else to say. I think his performances speak for themselves.
And you, I want to say you were 12th at both Texas and Kansas earlier this year. Is that, do you feel like you've gotten better, and how much better will you need to be, do you feel like, to have a shot at Martinsville to advance without putting yourself in a must-win situation?
Yeah, both races were disappointing for us. I think we were slightly better than that at Texas. You know, if you look at kind of average run speed or whatever, but we didn't get great finishes either place. We just weren't very good at Kansas, which was extremely disappointing because that's historically a pretty good track for us, and a track that we enjoy a good race at and have had success in the past. So. I think we have to be top five every stage and every finish. That's the only way you're going to get through that or win. You know, it just comes down to the number 4, right? So you need to be really, really close to that or on that every time points are offered.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bob.
Next, we're going to go to Jenna Fryer.
Hey, Alan. Nice job today. This is the fourth year that the
nine cars made it to the round of eight, and you guys have been good, but you haven't gotten to the final step yet. What does it take to get you through this round? And I'm wondering where you think this team ranks up with the last 3-4 years.
Yeah, you know, I feel like, you know, there's always ifs and buts. I certainly feel like there's a couple times that I think we could have advanced. Last year was pretty disastrous for us, with the Martinsville parts failures and the issue with the tire failure at Phoenix. So Phoenix has been tough on us that fall race for whatever reason. You know, we were in a position to win it a few years back and spent on pit road, and have had some trials and tribulations there. So yeah, we got to find a way to get through, and certainly winning one of these three, or like I mentioned before, running at the sharp end of the spear is what it's going to take. And I think we can do it. I think we've progressively gotten better and better and better. And I think we were much better than our results showed last year. Our performance in the round of eight showed last year. We just had a really, really bad round. So, yeah, I think we can do it. And we're going to work really hard to do it. And we've got a great support behind us. And everybody at HMS is pushing hard. And Alex did a great job. Greg and Alex did a great job getting through. So we've got you know, two with a shot to make it through. And certainly we'd like to get them both through.
Are you a Final Four team?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, thank you.
Next, we're going to go to Stephen Conley.
Alan, after watching yesterday's Xfinity race and seeing the rain, the downpour, what was going through your mind as far as planning for today's race? And do you feel like your car would have been just as good in the rain if it would have continued all day?
Man, it's tough. That's a tough one. You know, I watched that race yesterday, and I saw everybody make some error at some point in time that, you know, was detrimental to their finish. You know, AJ spun and Briscoe spun, and you know, everybody who ran at the front had some type of issue. The nine spun a few times, the seven spun, you know, just everybody did. So if we were racing in that sort of downpour and the way the water can puddle and the way things can happen, you know, it's just really random. So I can't tell you with any confidence that we could have performed the same way in those conditions. I don't know that anybody can, to be honest with you. I think it's just super tough circumstances. I felt for those guys yesterday, for sure.
Thank you.
Next, we're going to go to Ashley McCubbin, Popular Speed.
Alan, where do you feel the team's weaknesses are right now that you guys need to improve on going into this next round so that way you can be part of the round of four?
Yeah, it's just always the same things. You know, you have to have faster cars and bring faster cars to the track and have faster pit stops and execute the race better and all the above. It's you just always continuously trying to improve those areas, and certainly never satisfied. I don't feel like there's a glaring weakness in our team. I don't feel like that we have something that we can't overcome. You just have to continuously improve, and we have to have you know, our four best races these last four races. That's kind of what it comes down to. We've got to operate at our maximum potential, and certainly we'll try to improve and do the best we can, but right now it's probably about getting 100% of what you've got. You know, the teams are going to be in a position that I think it's going to be more about execution than it is, you know, developing something or coming up with some more performance.
And it wasn't the smoothest of days, as you did have the loose wheel, which brought Elliott back down pit road. What was going through your mind at that point in knowing how many laps were left and the chances that you guys had it coming back through?
It certainly wasn't good. You know, we couldn't take a chance on it. We had to protect our position in the playoffs first and foremost. And that was weighed pretty heavy on us all day long. And I think some of our early performance was or lack of performance was based on us trying to protect that position. So we need a little better situational awareness in that case and shouldn't have had that happen. And you know, that goes back to something that we've got to execute on and improve. But I was just trying to get video of it to know if I had to come back down. I should have just came right away, and it you know, just took too long. You don't get many opportunities here. The caution laps are so long. You really get one shot to come pit, and then you're coming to the green. So, yeah, that was a little bit of a rough patch, but everybody kept their wits about them and overcame it.
Perfect. Thank you, and congratulations once again.
Thank you.
Looks like we have a follow-up question from Bob Hawkers.
Yeah, Alan, you won a protest last week that gained you a lot of spots, and I'm curious, first off, how surprised were you to win a protest? And second, just how much did that impact at all any of your strategy or any of your preparation for today?
Yeah, yes, on all accounts. I was disappointed we got penalized for sure. I feel like if you watch that race over, that Chase threw the least amount of blocks and impeded anybody's progress the least of any car on the track. Never once threw a block when he was leading, never once put anybody in a dangerous situation. And then when we get the penalty, I was just kind of dumbfounded because the 17 made a pretty aggressive move to the bottom, you know, and certainly, yeah, we can probably slam on the brakes or crash him. So I don't feel like it's good to put the drivers in a position where they have to decide if they want to take a penalty or they want to send a fellow competitor through the infield. So I was disappointed in the penalty. I was certainly very appreciative of the way that NASCAR was willing to review it and the fact that I ever returned it. You know, I mean, everybody has their opinions and their sides of the story, but I feel like it was pretty obvious once you watched enough replays to see how that all transpired, and we certainly didn't deserve to lose all those points. So, yeah, and as far as does it impact the way we come here, certainly. I mean, that was a lot. I mean, I don't remember exactly, but I think it was like 16 points or something. So, yes, it definitely impacted the way we came here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we're going to wrap up with Davey Siegel.
Hey, Alan, I'm just curious, does the Hendrick Motorsports Track Attack program help the organization on road courses at all, or are they completely unrelated to what you guys do?
I'm not really sure what they do, so I can't answer that question, really.
Okay, no problem. Does anything feel different this year about Chase specifically as a driver? Do you sense any more confidence from him specifically with this year and four races to go?
Yeah. I think he's, you know, the experience in this, the trials and tribulations and the successes and the failures of all, you know, they all cumulatively add up. And, you know, he's a great driver and he's a really, really intelligent person. So the more opportunity he has to race and go through these situations and compete and win and yeah, he's just going to get better and better. And I think with that, bring some confidence and you know, there's nothing quite like, you know, living through the different circumstances and the pressure of, you know, having to race your way in or having to protect a lead to get in or all that stuff's, it's really unique and really tough to manage. So I think the more you go through it, the better you get.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
We actually have one more from Jerry Jordan we're going to go to before we cut you loose, Alan.
Real quick, piggyback off of Bob's question. How does one go about an at track, you know, appeal to make it? I mean, those are kind of rare, and it's, you know, obviously it's rare that they even get overturned. But how does one go about making that happen at Talladega like that?
Well, that's interesting. The way it transpired, you know, I knew from Dustin Shoulders, my race engineer back at the shop, I asked him where we were starting. He typically calculates the starting positions for us, and he told me that he couldn't give me the exact starting position because the results were under review, which I understood as chaotic as it was. And I did see, you know, on the front straightaway that we were very close to the line. I couldn't see from my perspective if we crossed the line. So long story short, I never heard anything, didn't know, and we were waiting on pit road to go through inspection, and I was watching the Jumbotron, and it had us only 20-something points above the cut line, which I was like, there's no way, you know. There's some bad math, but that's really bad math. So I went to TV, and they told me that we were last on the lead lap. So at that point in time, I just told Jeff Andrews and started calling everybody I knew, saying, hey, man, we got to do something about this because that's not right. So Jeff did a great job of knowing who to see and what to do, and you know, that's all him. He took care of it from there.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, Alan, thanks for joining us. Congratulations on the win, and good luck as a round of eight starts next week.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. We are now joined by our race winner, Chase Elliott, driver of the number 9 Napa Auto Parts Chevrolet. Chase, we have some questions that are starting to be queued up, so we will start with those. As a reminder of the media, you can go to the participants tab, raise your hand, and we will get to you. We will open with Bob Pockers.
Yeah, Chase, do you enter these road courses just knowing that you're going to have a great car? I mean, do you enter these now with some sort of a swagger, or does this success even surprise you just because it's just so rare to rattle off this many road course wins?
Yeah, no, I mean, we definitely don't show up just expecting to be good. We show up trying to be better than we were last time, and I thought we did that today. So I thought our car was better than it was here last year. I thought, can I take this off in here? Cool, I can take this off. And I thought I was better than I was last year and didn't pile drive the barriers this time. So that was good. And was able to finish it off the right way, which is always encouraging. So looking forward to this next round and trying to make some noise.
That leads me to my next question. And I think you were 12th at both Texas and Kansas. Do you feel like you guys have improved on your program enough to be able to make some noise?
I hope so. 12th certainly isn't going to cut it. So, you know, we've been working tirelessly to try to improve. You know, Kansas has historically, I feel like, been a decent track for us, and we struggled there the first race this year. So we know we got to be better, and looking forward to the challenge.
Thank you.
I'm going to go to Stephen Connolly with PRN.
Chase, this is 2 years in a row that you've had some type of issue about the halfway point of the Roval. Is this going to be a trend that you're going to continue having to come from 28th or back to win the Roval?
Hey, as long as the result stays the same, I don't really care. So it worked out. We'll take it for sure. And, you know, those bonus points are big and can be a difference maker. So, you know, like I said, just excited to have some momentum going in the next round. Wins are huge. They're too hard to get picky with them. So, looking forward to the opportunity and trying to make some noise and move on.
And now with the road courses and tying Jeff Gordon in that result, have you talked to Jeff about the road course success and how do you feel in that portion of history with road courses?
Yeah, be honest, we haven't talked at all about it. I know he had a great run, and you know, I think we all respect his career beyond just that. So just trying to get better. You know, Jeff is a 4-time champion, and you know, we don't remember him for his 4 road course victories in a row. Although it was great, you know, being a champion and trying to have the next level of success that he had is certainly a goal. So just trying to improve.
Thank you.
Next, we're gonna go to Jeff Gluck.
Case, you come down with the loose wheel, and I think you came out like 38th or something, you know, pretty far down there. At what point did you feel like you were still going to have a shot to win? I mean, was it immediately you felt like you were picking through cars? How quickly did you know?
I mean, you never know, to be honest, but I was just focused on trying to move forward. Felt like our car was driving well, but certainly set back. And got a caution, I thought, at a really good time and kind of bunched us back up. We had made our way through there some, and then that kind of allowed us to reset. And I felt like at that point we were in a position that we were kind of back to where we were or close to it.
with the way the strategy was working out. So it felt like we just need to be smart, try to, you know, just keep our eyes forward and make the next, you know, the next right call, whatever that was, you know, putting on tires at the caution or not. So Alan made a great call, called a good race, had a fast car, and things went our way, and that's all we could ask for.
What's the level of frustration when that happens inside the car? I mean, last year, you know, you put the blame on yourself. This year, it's not your fault. What happens inside the car that you can rebound from that?
Well, it doesn't matter whose fault it is. The end result is a setback, and that's really the bottom line. So blaming or being upset, as much as sometimes you might want to be, it really is unproductive. So just really looking ahead, you know, those guys weren't cussing me when I ran through the barrier over there, so I wasn't going to cuss them for a mistake either. And I think that we just need to keep our eyes forward, heads down, and focus on trying to get back up front and have a shot to win.
Next, we're going to go to Jackson Freiberger.
Hey, Chase, I just wanted to ask, how would you compare your dominance on road courses to Kirby Smart's defense of the Mountains?
And they've had a nice run for sure, but I don't know, hard to compare, I suppose, but hope they can have a good game next week.
You got a prediction for the Braves and Dogs this week against the Dodgers and Bama?
I can't hardly hear you, but something about the Braves and the Dodgers, but yeah, looking forward to watching for sure. I think they're definitely gonna have to be on their A game, so I'm excited to watch.
Thank you.
Next, we'll go to Davey Siegel.
Chase, in the lead up to road course events, I mean, mentally, is your preparation any different than other weeks considering your track record at them, or is it the same?
It's honestly not. I feel like we approach every week the same, to be honest. And, you know, there's certainly areas that, you know, we want to try to improve on all the time. And like I said a minute ago, you know, I don't think that you can just come to these places and just be the same as you were last time and expect to have the same result. So I thought our car was better today than it was last year. I thought I did a better job today than I did last year. And I think that was why we were able to get a good result.
You wish there are more road courses in the playoffs?
No, I don't. I would just like to be good at all the tracks.
Thank you.
Next, we're going to go to Ashley McCubbin.
You've got Texas, Kansas, and Martinsville in the next round. Your thoughts on how you guys are going to perform and make it to that round of four?
Well, you never know. I mean, that's why we go race, is to find out who wins and who loses. So just excited to have the opportunity. I think it's going to be a really big challenge for us to move on, as I think it is for everybody in this round, unless you just have a bunch of wins. So I think today's win is big. Getting those extra 5 points can be the difference. So we just got to bring our A game and push ahead and really, really try to execute three solid weeks.
Perfect. Thank you.
We'll go to Zach Albert.
Thanks. Chase, what were the conditions like, and did watching what happened yesterday in the Xfinity race kind of put you on edge for what might have come today?
For sure. I mean, I was shocked it didn't rain, you know, really at all. So I feel like we got really lucky that didn't happen in a lot of ways. So yeah, I tried to be as prepared as I could be for that if it happened. And you know, I feel like the biggest challenge today was that transition period when the track was wet, and as it was drying out, understanding what areas were still damp and what areas weren't. The track kind of has like a sealer to it, you know, like when you see a fresh driveway or a big parking lot resealed or something. It's kind of like it has that all the time, which makes it dark and kind of hard to differentiate what's dry and what's not. So that was the biggest challenge, was just understanding where to be and where not to be and trying to stay on the road.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Next, we're going to go to Tucker White.
Sorry, I was still muted. Chase, a lot of drivers learn how to go to like racing schools to learn how to be a better road course racer, or learn from drivers such as Boris said. Like, where did you learn to the nuances of road course racing?
Yeah, I feel like I did. I've done all those things. You know, I remember going to Bondurant out there as a kid, driving Corvettes. I remember going to Spring Mountain and spending a lot of time with Ron Fellows. Boris Sed's a friend. Felt like Dad was a really good road racer too. And there's small things that I feel like he's, you know, talked about over the years that have helped me too. So I don't know. I feel like I've had an opportunity to be around some guys who have really good knowledge. And if you can just pick things from everybody, and try to take, you know, small little tidbits here, small little tidbits there and put it into one effort, I think is helpful. And I think I've been fortunate to have some good people to look up to. So, still a lot of room for improvement, I think, on my end, but definitely a good day today and want to enjoy it.
Thank you.
Next, we'll go to Rob Pionson.
Chase, congratulations on another win at the Charlotte Roval. My first question for you is, I know it can be a bit premature to look ahead to 2021, but being that I'm based in Austin, how thrilled are you to take on a brand new unknown with the Circuit of the Americas?
Yeah, great question, man. To be honest, I'm so focused on this year right now and whatnot. I haven't spent a lot of time going through the schedule for next year, but I think it's a good addition. I mean, it's a nice course out there, and you know, I feel like it's been a you know, been quite the spectacle from the F1 side, and obviously that's a whole different ball game. But looking forward to going, and I think it's going to bring new challenges and things none of us have ever seen before. So look forward to it, and we'll see what happens.
And my last question for you is, given the show up and race format that's been implemented since the sport's return, how have you and crew chief Alan Gustafson embraced this challenge to keep elevating your performance and now be rewarded with it with a round of eight seed?
Well, just trying to get better. You know, we've been fortunate to get to the round of eight the last couple of years, and that's kind of been our stopping point. So for us, you know, we're just eyes ahead, trying to assert ourselves amongst that next group. You know, we tend to see the same guys make the final four every year. It's kind of that same group fighting for those spots. And I think for us, we're very capable of asserting ourselves amongst them. We just have to be a little better and a little more consistent, eliminate those bad racetracks. And I think we can run with whoever when we're at our best. I've said that before, and I really believe it. So I'm looking forward to the opportunity and ready to move on.
Thanks, Chase. Best of luck.
Thanks.
We'll go to Deb Williams next.
Hey, Chase. Congratulations. You've talked about the people that you're around, the good road racers that you've learned from in the schools, but you've always been very smooth on the road courses. Has that been a natural for you, or did you ever struggle with the road courses when you first began?
Yeah, I honestly don't know. You know, I didn't feel like we did very spectacular on the Xfinity side when, you know, I ran over there, you know, and you know, I feel like my first year in Cup, we didn't run all that good on road courses. So it wasn't like it, you know, hasn't been a work in progress. So we've just been trying to chip away at it, get better. And I think we have a package that works at some of these racetracks pretty good. And we just try to improve that. You know, like I said, I'm not sure that you can just do the same thing every time and get the same results. I think we improved today from where we were last year. And I try to get my, you know, make my craft a little better and minimize mistakes. And we were fortunate that things were in our favor today.
Okay. Thank you. Good luck.
Thanks.
And Chase, we have one more question for you that came through to me through Messenger from Briar Star. Through today's victory and being strong so far in the playoffs, is there anything you feel you need to improve on as you inch closer to the championship four? And what are your thoughts on potentially being in the championship four?
Well, like I said, you know, I think we've made the, you know, the round of eight the last couple of years, and that's a great thing. That's a great, you know, a great achievement, but we always want more. Like I said a minute ago too, we see the same people make the final four every year. And I think we've been very close to asserting ourselves amongst that group. I think we're very capable of it. I think when we're at our best, we run with those guys. I think we've proved that in the past. So we just have to be a little more consistent, eliminate those bad racetracks. And I think we can make some noise.
Awesome. Thanks, Chase. Well, congratulations on the win today and good luck with the round of eight starting next week in Kansas.
Cool. Thanks.
This is WFO Radio.
Subscribe to WFO Radio on iTunes. Never miss a show. And don't forget to write a review. WFO.